You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It happened again. Last night in Sacramento, the Kings beat the Kings team, the Lakers, for the eighth time in nine games. And once again, it wasn't even close. Kings led by 15 after three quarters and won by 13, 120 to 107. Lakers were two-point favorites in this game. So, Keyshawn, what exactly happened this time?
Man, it's like you asking me this time. Like, I'm getting ready to come up with another excuse, right?
This time, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with Anthony Davis, okay? Mm. You got to keep Sabonis off the glass, number one.
Lord.
Okay? You just got to keep him off the glass. I don't care what you do. When you down low, you got to keep him off the glass. He dominated the glass, okay? He had nine more rebounds than AD.
He did.
On the defensive end, he had 14. AD had seven. There was no offensive putbacks on AD's side. He only had three offensive rebounds.
Yep.
So when you look at that, you say to yourself, what's going on here? We shot the ball well from three, 43%. That's
for you.
For us, it's pretty good shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you also got a guy who scored 44 points a couple nights ago, give you one into the fourth quarter. I can score 1 point. Hey, look.
You could.
He's an NBA player.
Yep.
You say offensive all-star type talent.
Yes, he does.
Right. He didn't display that last night
not.
At all whatsoever. He hasn't displayed that since the 44.
Against the Milwaukee Bucks, he hung 44
and
on
since
them.
That, he's gone like this.
Yeah.
All the way down to one.
Mm.
LeBron played okay, but didn't score early.
Early.
He didn't score early. It was almost as if he wanted to let the other guys get involved and do their things like Austin Reeves. And Austin Reeves, he had me for a minute going, yeah, they should give him an extension. Because he was lighting them up. He was playing real pro basketball. You know, he changed. I'm watching. I'm sitting there going, damn. Okay, this is what we're talking about.
Maybe I'm right.
Off the dribble. Maybe you saw something and you like him. Mm. I ain't gonna say you're right. But those are the sort of things. And then obviously, when you start thinking about De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis and Monk.
Harrison Barnes
was on fire on a consistent basis. Huh. Those are all the things that went wrong. And then when we got into the fourth quarter, we never closed the gap.
Yep.
Never felt good. Right. And I turned the TV off, Skip.
Right.
I just turned it off.
I don't blame you a bit.
And Fox still mad about that Lonzo deal.
He is. He's still mad.
I did this thing to Lonzo in college, and y'all went on and still took him.
Yeah.
Every time I see you, I'm going to put this on.
So funny you mentioned Lonzo. I ran into his pops yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. At the convention I was at, the food convention.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I ran into pops.
All right, I haven't
pretty
seen
fun.
Him.
I literally told him yesterday, I was just talking about you with the lethal shooter trying to figure out where the hell is LeVar. Oh, man, and he went into his whole LeVar deal.
So his boys told him to calm out.
Probably so. Who knows? But go ahead, Mike.
My boy, hey, LaMelo, he should be talking. LaMelo's a different beast over there. He can talk all he wants. That's a different beast. Now, a couple things, though, that I pull out. Dude, I wasn't here a couple weeks ago. Well, a week ago. When AD played at Minnesota, played the way he played in Minnesota. Now, I was sitting at home. I'm an effort dude. I'm an effort hustle guy. hustle yep. guy. And I think, you know, if you out hustle everybody, you're going to win. It just happens. That's what's been drilled in us all our lives as athletes. But no coach ever cuts the guy that works the hardest. And I out hustle everybody. And in that game, I watched him out hustle everybody. He was snatching everything. I was like, man, if AD played like this all the time, this team would be undefeated, be the baddest team in the world. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
And then to see the switch from to watching him now against Sabonis, and we just showed a clip of Sabonis attacking him. I mean, coming right at him. You a shot blocker, and he come right at him, and he's physical with it. You know, he's physical. And I was like, come on, just stay up and fight. He showed up pretty good. He put up 24 points, 12 rebounds. But when you compare it to what Sabonis was doing, then you say, okay, you guys got to step up and play better. I don't know what's going on with D. Russell. Man, some days this dude really do. And that's, I think that's the biggest issue right here. I can't have that kind of a swing. You know, if D. Russ, give me 15 points. If you could promise me 15 points, you ain't got to worry about going up to 40. Because just don't promise me. Don't come back down
well,
to
promise
one.
You, he promise
don't come
you,
back
he
down
promise
to
you
one.
More than that because he said he welcomes the
yeah,
smoke.
I know.
So
I know.
You welcome the smoke.
And
you
right.
invite this type of criticism. You
and
do.
I know a lot of people talk. A lot of people talk, but I also heard what he was and read what he was saying. You know, he talked to LeBron about how does he stay so consistent? And LeBron tell him about his routine of reading and calming his brain and calming himself down and getting on a routine. And he says, I get on a routine and I'm better. But then what happens at these kinds of moments?
Hmm.
Why do you come down to this? If you can get they just get the rust. AD gonna do what AD does. Mm-hmm. Even when he looks like he looked last night, he still gives up 25 points a game. But if you get D'Angelo Russell, just give me some more. Give me some more stability. Promise me you're gonna score 15 points a game and don't go to 40. And I believe we can do something with that. And as long as I know I have that. Because D. Russ looks like an all-star sometimes. And then you say, how can he not put the ball in the basket? And I think that hurts the Lakers a lot.
All right. Allow me to frame what happened last night because it just tore me up. I'm going to remind you, Sacramento was playing back-to-back and usually takes some out of you. They're not a young, young team. And they were minus Kevin Huerter, who usually kills the Lakers too, and he's a starter for them, and he did not play. And Trey Lyles comes off their bench and gives them impact off the bench, and he was not available last night. And I'm going to remind you about this Kings team. They're not world beaters against anybody else, only against the right. Los Angeles Lakers.
And they were happy to be getting out of that play-in.
They
turned this stuff, right?
Okay, so March the 4th at home. This is not that long ago. I'm giving you March games. They lost at home to the Bulls. On March the 7th, they barely beat San Antonio without Wimby by 2 at home. And then March 10th, they turned right around and lost to Houston at home. This is the same team you saw last night. 8 out of 9 times, they have shellacked the Lakers. They have made the Lakers look like they're the Bulls or the Rockets or whoever you want to throw in there. They made the Lakers look like they'd played 7 straight nights last night when they walked on the floor because I didn't like the body language from anybody except early Austin Reeves. And Keyshawn, if he doesn't score 13 in the first quarter and 19 by halftime, you're probably blown out in the first half.
No, he was knocking shots
down.
Yeah,
so you're down 4 going to halftime. And I'm thinking, okay, somebody's got to say something at halftime. Somebody's got to step up. It could be Braun. It
well,
could be AD.
Actually, could have been up 2 before the half or
you
tied.
You could.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. But it's a basketball game. It felt competitive at that point. And I'm thinking, okay, just come out and say, no, that's enough. All of you, the whole group, you need to come out. And it starts maybe with the center who says, watch this. I'm talking about when he plays with angry authority, I'm like, whoa, that's a top 5 player. So I'm going to show you what happens coming out of halftime. I'm going to show you 5 straight Laker turnovers, where I'm just saying, well, then just leave. Just go get on the
LeBron,
bus.
I know you're going to show that one.
But they're 5 in a row. These are 5 in 5 minutes. You're going to get smoked.
Oh, there's a LeBron one.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't make it up.
No,
I didn't.
No,
that's not CGI. He did that. And look, it's a run out dunk. And then Rui comes down and whoops, and he runs over whoever it was. And that's that. And then D'Lo, sorry. They're going to go get an easy bucket, the other one. And then what was that? What are you thinking? Okay? There we go. So I just showed you five straight, and guess what happened? 10-2 happened, Sacramento. And yeah. Keyshawn, like the game was basically over.
Yeah.
Huh?
They won an 8-8. Yeah.
There was a timeout being called.
And then just for your pleasure, I got to show you that LeBron had three turnovers in the third quarter. We got to show you the third one because that's you love these, right? This is the third LeBron turnover that led to a 14-point lead. And I'm saying when this happened, this is LeBron bleeping James, and Malik Monk gets a run out, and it's 14, and thank you, good night, drive home safely. Keyshawn, LeBron just wasn't into it last night, and I don't know why. Anthony Davis looks intimidated by Sabonis, who I don't think is even as tall as Anthony Davis is. So now I want to show you the six baskets that Sabonis made. And by the way, he had a triple-double, which is his 23rd of the year.
Sabonis is a bad boy. Yeah. We don't get enough credit for how bad he is.
He's a bad boy, but when Anthony Davis let the bicep or the tricep rub his chin and he laid on the ground. I knew it was over then.
All right, so let's see the six baskets because these are bully ball baskets when he gets going. He is not afraid. He just says, I'm going right up over you. Come on. This is a potential defensive player of the year. There he gets inside him again and he just says, I'm going to out muscle you and I'm going to out finesse you at the basket. Here we go. That's easy. And here's the one you're talking about. Ooh. Boom. Goes right through him, bully ball, and leaves him on his back.
I zoomed in on the slow-mo. He grazed his chin with his tricep. Man, come on.
Yeah, and he's too big to be flopping with that, man. Just bow up and play strong. That's all you got to do.
I think we'll be all right in a 7-game series, though.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't get discouraged when I lose to a team because if I get to the playoffs and I see that same team, I got a 7-game stretch over a shorter amount of time.
You're right about
opposed
that.
To this, I play you in this week, I don't play you for another 3 weeks, and I lose to you. I just don't get all trippy about that. You look at last year, and you look at the Lakers last year, they struggled against the Golden State in the regular season. They struggled against them in the regular season.
Yeah.
Okay?
They dominated them.
In the playoffs, they dominated.
It wasn't even close.
And I look at Memphis. last year, Memphis was an issue in the regular season.
Yeah, okay. Then,
we get to the playoffs, we took care of business.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about.
Okay. I don't worry on the same vein about Denver because the last seven times you played them to the wire.
Yeah.
And in playoffs this time, I think you could flip that switch and figure it out.
You got to figure out how to beat Denver, though.
But with Sacramento in the regular season,
joke is different.
I look at it and I say, I can't even see any hope. Like it's not close. It never goes to the wire. These guys, to your point about De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo, and then
they take it personal.
And something about Malik Monk because the Lakers didn't want to keep him.
When was the last time LeBron James had an early exit out of the playoffs? When was the last time?
Early exit?
Yeah.
And you'll see a different LeBron.
You know, like Dallas Cowboy type exit. when that's been a minute.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that.
Okay.
Because when he was in the East, it was just like a cakewalk to the
finals. No, but it's been a minute. He usually... Yeah. Is one of the last teams standing.
Right.
Sure.
So.
Well, I mean, forever he
knows
been.
How to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
But LeBron LeBron's not your problem. LeBron's not your problem because LeBron.
No, LeBron is your problem.
Even that little play that you just showed, the turnover and LeBron. LeBron would run that down in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
He would run that. He's going to run that down and kick that on the top of the backboard in the playoffs. Just not right here. And I'm okay with LeBron not running that one down because he's 100 years old. It's the other guys that's not playing every night. That's the problem.
I'm not in a panic and I'm calm because if we get into the playoffs,
you'll get that effort.
We will be one of the last teams standing.
Yeah. I agree with that. Look. LeBron clearly has the highest IQ in basketball, and it looks to me like when he steps on the floor against this team, he knows in his heart of hearts, in the back of his mind, we just don't match up. And his body language night looked like, I don't know.
It did.
Right?
It looked tired, listless to me.
Like he's just sort of saying, we can't play with these guys.
The last time was against somebody in 2021.
Last time.
They went... Early
21 early against the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
In 2021. That was the last
Yeah, that time. Was the first.
But that wasn't that team and coming out of COVID and all that.
No. Yeah.
No, no.
Because they went usually, through the play-in to get to Phoenix.
They didn't go to the play-in at all. No, they didn't go through. They only been in the play-in at one time.
Okay.
That was it.
When they beat Steph in a play-in game at Staples, right?
That didn't was...
They? Remember when LeBron said, I got hit in the eye and I couldn't see and I saw three baskets and I picked the middle one and he made a shot?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good way to, that's a good way. He saw three, man. He
saw three and he said, I picked.
Michael Jordan never did that.
No, he never said, I see three and I'll pick the middle. Like, which door, door number one, two, or I'll pick door number two.
But in all of this, I trust LeBron getting them there and everybody rallying around LeBron. At the end and take care of business.
Okay, I've just never seen a good team, and the Lakers are a good team.
But maybe, like the Cowboys, they're gathering information about Sacramento.
And here,
they could be gathering information.
And that's all you wanted to see right here. Even if you lose the game, let's pull out the individuals. Let's pull out the individuals. Let's pull out some things that Anthony Davis did, and you take the information in. Mm-hmm. You lost again.
You lost again.
Gathering information for the future.
Yeah.
For the playoffs. Right around the corner.
Austin Reeves, closer.
Everybody, I don't know about closer.
Every game is gathered.
He's playing really good basketball.
All right, up next, I can't wait to hear these guys talk about this. The Bucks GM gives Baker the all-time weirdest compliment.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Here's what Tampa Bay GM Jason Light had to say about Baker Mayfield as Baker sat next to him at yesterday's press conference.
He set the tone for this team with his, for lack of a better word, he's probably a 1 out of 10. He's a 10 on the prick scale. So, sorry, Nelson.
Thank you. I'll take that.
Man, that one shocked me, though I agreed with the sentiment of it. Michael, how surprised are you that Jason Light said that publicly?
I don't know Jason Light, like, in the area, like, where I know you guys. So that means I don't know his humor. I don't know his humor. But is that a good situation? I thought that was a bad situation to say that right there. He's a prick, and I guess mean it in a good way. I mean it in a good way. Now, the reality is I just paid this man a lot of money to be the leader of my football team. I could have described that a lot of ways. You know, hey, this guy, gone through some things, you know. He's a fighter. He fights back. He plays hard. He works hard. He leads hard. And our guys follow that. You know, it's a lot of ways. But to say he's a prick and expect us to extrapolate that as something good when, honestly, and I love Baker Mayfield. I've told Baker this. I love him. I love his moxie. I love his toughness. But other people have called him a prick, and not in a good way. So why add to that by saying, yeah, you know, I just came out of tough negotiations. Tough negotiations because we weren't sure where Baker Dimmer was going to be, and I'm sure he thought he was this, and they wanted him at this. And that we always talk about the emotions that go on in negotiations. Everybody end up saying, well, it's just not personal. It's all business. But it is personal. And things come out as personal. That's why Devontae Adams, after a while, said, you know, no, it's not personal, but personally, I'm just going to leave because you didn't get my money early enough, and I heard all that stuff you said about me in the room while we were negotiating. So I know it. I know the feelings are bad now, so I'm out of here. You just came out of negotiation, just in a press conference. That's why you're calling it. You're raising the hope level of everybody that you just did something great. Why drop that word right here? Why not say, we got our guy? We got our guy. He led us to the playoffs. He led us the same team that Tom Brady didn't make to the playoffs. He didn't get there. He led us and won one. He took us farther than Tom, and we're so excited to see how far this goes. Well, you know what I mean. Farther than Tom took us the previous year. Yes. He took him farther than Tom took him the previous year. And we're excited to see just how far and where this thing can go. We got our man. That's what that press conference was about. Not to come off and say that you got a prick.
I don't think Jason Light was coming. He was making.
I don't think
light
he was demeaning him. Yeah, I don't think he was. I don't think he was demeaning him. I don't think he was demeaning him, making light of it. But since others have called him
I understand what you're saying. But those others that have called him that word had a different experience with Baker Mayfield than Jason Light and Todd Bowles.
But we don't know that.
Well, you obviously
they just
know
came
that.
Out of negotiation.
No. You
so we don't know what that was like.
No,
we don't
you
know
obviously
how
it, know that because you just said, Michael, other people have called him that word as describing him as something different.
Mm. Correct.
You clearly, at least I do, I clearly know that's not what Jason Light is referring to. He's referring to, we just gave him $100 million. Baker Mayfield is a prick because he's got a certain intangible that makes him different. That's what differentiates one person from another, is a certain intangible. Right, Michael? When you talk about Michael Irvin at number 88.
You see it?
Excuse me?
How you see it and how you describe it.
A little bit of both.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's not just what he does, how I see it and how I describe it.
But they're there with the man, so they see it a certain way. And what I was going to say, though, is you got a certain intangibles that others don't have, that they wish they had, okay? That's why Baker Mayfield was able to get the $100 million. Because if you look at some other receivers, Michael, in the history of the National Football League, people would argue that they are more athletic, they're better, they this, they that. But at the end of the day...
I would capitulate that.
But wait, at the end of the day, they ain't got your damn intangibles. That's why they don't have them three Super Bowl rings. That's why they can't walk in a locker room with them ugly sleeves on. And everybody go, yeah, we get ready to go out in the second half and we get ready to do something to somebody. Mm-hmm. There are guys that are like that for both me and you, but they ain't got them intangibles. Right. They're not different. There are people with better numbers.
Agreed.
Right.
But they ain't going to lead the way Baker Mayfield is leading.
Right.
And that's all he is trying to describe with his quarterback. He's not demeaning him at all, and I know you said He's not at all. He's just saying he's a prick. Mm. You know, I done been called a million different words by my coaches, and every last coach throughout my career, when I left them, they tried to get me back. Even John Gruden tried to get me back to come play with him, and we had one of the ugliest moments ever on national TV in sports.
You did.
Because that was my personality. And that's what drove me. That's why they loved me. Yep. Parcells took a job in Dallas and said, I need to get my guy back. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is.
Agreed.
Before you go, Skip, just one thing, Key, but listen what you're doing. Listen what you're doing. You're talking about the guy that eats, sleeps, uses the bathroom with you every day in a coach.
Yeah.
We're talking about a GM. He's not eating, sleeping, and using the bathroom with Baker Mayfield every day. No, you're
right
not in the locker room enough to be calling this man a prick. Be honest with you. Be totally honest with you.
He's right there with
you. Be totally honest with you.
He knows him. He's right there with him.
You just came out of negotiations. You're not.
But I don't think that. But to be honest with you, Michael, I don't think their negotiations were hard. They didn't have a hard negotiation.
Either.
Not at all.
What do you mean? I don't think.
No, they didn't have a hard negotiation. They said from day one,
you're not going to pay Baker top dollar.
But wait, hold on, Michael. At the end of the season, the first thing they said is we want to bring him back.
They did.
That's right. What they said, Michael.
I know for a fact they gave him a number and they said that's the number.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah. And Baker took it because it's the smartest thing in the world for him to do.
It was.
Could Baker Mayfield have gotten could he have gotten that Kirk Cousins money potentially from Atlanta? Yeah, maybe. But it wasn't worth it to Baker. Baker said, I'd rather be with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Todd Bowles, who gave me a real opportunity to be the guy rather than go learn a whole new system, all these new things. These are my guys in the locker room.
Guys, let me just say this.
What?
If that is true, they could have signed it. And now he never went into the free agency.
But he never went into the free agency. He never took a trip. He never did anything.
What I'm saying, they could have signed an extension before we even got in here. What you just described is we knew at the end of the game, the last game they played, that we were going to sign Baker Mayfield. I can't take that. Because why did we wait this long to get this deal done? Why we let him even go out here and test?
Because at the end of the day, they're doing a job in a business, Skip. So if they say to yourself, we can re-sign Baker Mayfield, and then all of a sudden Josh Allen becomes available, he ain't going nowhere. They know. They right there with him. He ain't going nowhere. All of a sudden, just think about it. All of a sudden, Josh Allen becomes available.
The fact that we are here.
You understand what I'm saying?
Go ahead, Skip. But the fact that we are here, I think, proves the point that I am saying, that why we're talking about it. Because you leave it open to be talked about when you use that word.
Michael, I appreciate you defending Baker on this, but I know for a fact the negotiation was not contentious at all. Cut and dried, and yet he took $30 million a year versus Kirk Cousins in Atlanta got $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe Atlanta would come after Baker just to take him away from Tampa and bring him to Atlanta, but they didn't want to do that. They wanted Kirk Cousins. So $50 million versus $30
million,
and Keyshawn stepped right up day one and said he should stay in Tampa.
Stay in Tampa.
Yeah, and I think
even if you get offered $50 million.
That's not what we're talking about, though, guys. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about whether he should stay in Tampa. We know that. We're talking about the GM calling him a prick.
All right.
That's the question
that we're talking about.
Everybody agreed he should stay in Tampa.
I'm going to read a quote from Jason Light that came from October just to reframe how he feels about Baker. Here we go. We could put this up so everybody can read along with me. This is in October from Jason Light. Baker is a dude, and the players saw it right away. He took the offensive line to the Bahamas during camp after final cuts to play golf. He spotted around a town at dive bars with receivers, with Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin. It's not fake. He really knows how to be a dude with the team, and they love him. I believe every word of that.
And me too.
All right.
And me too.
All right. So here's
now the question
point.
Is, why couldn't he use those words to describe him here?
But you hung up on a word, though, dog. Right.
Okay.
No, we're hung up on the word. That's why we're talking and having a conversation.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
It's funny. I taped a podcast yesterday, and I did a segment on Baker, and I talked about the other word that he often gets called by people who don't like him, and it sounds a lot like the word that Jason Light used, but there's another word that's even worse. And my point is, remember Baker at Oklahoma. It's what I loved about him, because he planted the flag at Ohio State after he played.
But didn't go into turf.
Okay, but he tried. He tried. But that was after he played what Urban Meyer described as the best game any quarterback has ever played against me at Ohio State. Yeah. Then remember what he did? He got into it with the Kansas players, and he grabbed his crotch when he was trash-talking to him.
Yeah.
And remember, the TCU kids were running across the back end line of his end zone. He just said, okay, watch this. And he drills one of them right in the helmet with the football as hard as he could throw it. Okay, that's what he is made of. That's what ignites football teams around. That's what I love about him, but it rubs some people the wrong way.
Yeah.
So Jason Light reached for an analogy using a word he should not have used in public because it just doesn't come across right. But I think he intended it to be for all the right reasons.
Absolutely.
And it's
100%.
A word that no GM has ever uttered in the history of the National Football League in public, right?
Right.
I'm pretty sure. I've never heard
of
GM.
Not after giving up $200 million. No. I gave it to a prick.
Yeah, right? Okay.
So that, and I don't, I don't know why y'all fight me on this.
I'm not fighting you on it, man.
But I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it's not obviously, that bad.
But obviously, it is bad enough. We are talking about it when they had a press conference and they wanted to talk, us to be talking about how great of a move this is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a great, smart move. And we are not talking about what it means on the football field. We're talking about why he used the word prick. And I don't care what, that alone, this alone make it a bad opportunity, make it a bad decision on his part.
Okay.
This segment right here proves my point and says, don't do it again.
Let me ask you a question. We right here.
Yeah.
Why are
I don't know, because I'm just a big guy, man. I don't know. I've been a big guy. I got a big boy.
Right here.
I ain't yelling. I'm just talking strong. That's the difference. There's a difference. Yelling is this. Talking strong is what I do.
Well, why are you talking strong, man?
I talk strong.
I'm right here. I hear every word you're saying. I understand that. But I also think that Jason Light is just saying that he has a certain intangible that a lot of people wouldn't put up with, and we put up with it, and we blessed him. He earned it with this contract, and we have him. We're blessed to have him. That's the way I look at it, okay? They have some sort of relationship well enough that that general manager chose that word because he was comfortable with it. That relationship is good enough.
No, it's good.
It's good enough.
I'm not saying it's not good, guys. We're two different things. Again, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying it was a bad decision. I'm saying all of that is
so what would you have liked for him to say?
Any other word?
Michael?
He could have just what I said.
You know, love he's great.
He's a tough, hard-nosed leader. That's what you just described.
I do believe as soon as the word came out of his mouth, I could see Jason Light. You could see he was like,
because the media probably sitting there, and they probably was like, their body language.
Correct. Because why are you calling this dude a prick? And you just he's leading your team now.
Called him that in practices on the field, like, talking to him like you're a prick,
like cheating,
man.
Yeah,
stop being a prick. You know, you know how that goes. But I'm happy for Baker.
Me too.
The ironic part of this is we all love Baker.
Baker's a good dude, man. And that's why I just describe him as he is.
He's never been anything but a good dude to me. I also understand when you're in bad situations, sometimes people look at you differently because everybody's pointing a finger at you, even though they don't know what a mess it is that you're in.
I still say, and you agree with this, the worst decision he ever made was his
trying to
rookie
run from the
year.
Police in Oklahoma and got caught.
No. Well, that was a bad idea because he got thrown against a brick wall.
They had on a uniform. You couldn't even separate from them. You think you get ready to go run a 40?
What was he doing in Fayetteville, Arkansas? Help me out.
I don't know
about that one. But we agreed on was right out of the box as a rookie quarterback, first overall pick, he starts doing progressive commercials, and they were good. But they were relentless, man.
Right.
And he had accomplished nothing in this league. And he drew a target on his back that got bigger by the commercial, right?
Right.
And it was hard to overcome that for a while because he won 7 games as a rookie for a team that was 0-16. That was pretty good. And everybody said, well, wait a second.
I mean,
they needed that.
He played for Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
Right. It was a mess.
That looks like
it was
a truck driver.
It was
did.
A mess.
I can't even think of his name.
No head coaching experience.
None.
Yeah. Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Kitchens. Come
good,
on.
Good guy, but he looks like a truck driver.
That doesn't make him a good coach.
No, I know.
Looks like a truck driver.
What y'all guys talking about, man? What does a good coach look like? What does a truck driver look like, guys? Come on now. Not y'all acting like the GM for the Bucs. Call that man a prick. Now you got to stop that.
I just called him a truck driver.
What is that? What does a truck driver look like?
Had the look,
like,
man, the hat, the little scruffy beard.
I'm speaking for all truck drivers in this country. Y'all leave.
Don't worry, they're not gonna hit up your Twitter, man. You all right?
Workers, man.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So, Michael Irvin, Keyshawn, and I have gone back and forth about this all week long. The Dallas Cowboys were the only NFL team not to make an agreement with a free agent during the legal tampering period, and now they're the very last NFL team to actually sign a free agent. This one, not exactly a household name, Eric Kendricks. So as we know, Jerry Jones prioritizes drafting players over signing free agents. Michael, are you still okay with this philosophy?
Well, hold on before you go. Okay. That, what you just said is not factual or true, Skip. They did get in to tampering and sign a free agent. That's the long snapper.
The long snapper. You got me. Touche.
Boy, you so crazy, man. What is that?
His name escapes me. I can't remember.
Yeah. You water head. That's fun part. That's a fun. That's a fun. Listen, when I look at this, when I look at this and I think about how we all get so excited this time of the year and everybody starts saying, oh, you're building your team. And this guy is the guy that can take us over the top. But really, it never pans out that way. It never pans out that way. And if you look at it, you end up overpaying in this early stage because of the frenzy that goes on and everybody. Now you're in bidding wars and the numbers get up. That's how what we talked about just happened with Calvin Ridley. That's how the number got up. I'm sure there was somebody bidding. We saw, wow, the number. They probably didn't go in expecting that number to get there, but that's where it ended
that's
up.
That's true.
Because they're battling with somebody. Jerry decides to stay out of that. I don't care. I don't mind that, especially with what's on tap. What do I mean by that? We directed it towards the draft, but the reality is it's not just a comparative analysis, free agents over draft. It's also free agents over your own players, and I don't want him doing that right now. I understand we got to go sign my 88 buddy and C.D. Lamb. I understand we have to do something with Dak Prescott. And I hope that we don't get so hurt on the pain of the loss that we had in the playoffs, and we make a decision here. I'm glad he did make a decision here where he gives somebody so too much money, and then we're not able to do what we got to do with Michael Parsons. I'm more worried about those guys right now than any guy that I saw in this free agent period that just came up off the board. Now, I'm not saying that there's nobody out there that would say, oh, go get that guy. But what we had on the board and what you saw, I'm okay with him prioritizing the guys you have and the guys you know you're going to get over that early stage where everybody gets overpaid and the production never really matches the number. I'm okay with it. I think that's being prudent. I think it's being smart. Right now.
Mm. Yeah, I've never, Skip was going crazy about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones not being in the, getting on the plane at midnight and doing all that and flying to people. Skip was going crazy about it. I kept saying, you got time. Because what you need is you need to plug certain holes. And there's so many talented guys that as time goes by, that number starts to shrink. Because right. Those opportunities are closing on certain teams that you thought you might go to. And that's the way Jerry's been shopping, it sounds like, to me, for a long period of time outside of the Deion Sanders and maybe, I don't remember, Charles Haley, when Charles came over there with you guys, those type of...
Trade, but...
Yeah,
right,
but those, right, type right, of, yeah. Those type of guys mm-hmm. aren't necessarily out there in the free agent marketplace. So I'm okay with that. But you say, well, we need a running back. Well, you could probably find a running back in the draft for what you want to do. You could probably find one. Well, we need a left tackle. Well, there's Bakhtiari out there. Do you want to pay $24 million a year to him, 22 a year, 20 a year,
Green
19
Bay didn't.
A year?
Oh,
right. Green Bay decided they did not. Doesn't mean that you don't want to, especially when you have Tyron Smith out there that wanted a little bit of shave and y'all wanted to just chop him all the way off. Maybe you come back to him because nobody else wants him. Ooh. And now all of a sudden he says, you know what? I still want to play. I'll play for y'all. Give me a different number. And then y'all meet.
Yeah.
You got your left tackle.
Yeah.
You just went and got Kendricks at the linebacker position. You need a couple more backers. Maybe there's a few more out there somewhere in the universe. Or maybe a guy is draftable. So you got time.
Big meat up front. Some big healthy.
You need some meat.
Weight.
Yeah.
Some weight up front.
Yeah, you need some meat up front. Maybe.
By the way, we drafted that guy last year.
Mozzie Smith may be better in Mike Zimmer's system than he was in Dan Quinn's system. There you go. So you got time.
Okay.
You got time. But you won't splash.
No, I don't.
Because you deserve it. Because he said all in.
Need, not deserve.
You know what? That big fella that the Raiders just got. Now, if Dallas was to be able to go in and get somebody like that, I'm willing to stretch a purse like that. On.
Okay, you, but that was $84 million guaranteed dollars. $84 million.
You said to me yesterday, Skip,
but that, now, that's the kind of splash that would make a huge difference.
Okay.
You go get me a big run stopper that can get to a quarterback. I'm willing to stretch that purse for that.
Here's my issue with Jerry Jones, and I know him and I love him just like you do, but his stubborn pride runs deeper than any humans I've ever been around. It runs deeper than any oil well he ever had dug in Texas or Oklahoma. It runs so deep that there's no flexibility in it because he now prides himself almost to a fault over drafting and raising like sons. I'll draft him because I pick him. I got the final say in the draft, and he listens to Will McClay and all the scouts, and they do a great job.
They do a great job.
But Jerry has final say, veto power. He makes the final choice, and he takes huge pride in making those choices and getting to know those players and raising the best ones like he raised you, like a son. And I'm fine with that until you run out a product in a home playoff game that is down 27-0 before halftime, because that's just flat out wrong. That is screaming at you, you have to change. You have to do something different. So this man, the number 88, was pushing like crazy sitting in that chair for Derrick Henry. And it made sense to me because I knew we were going to lose Tony Pollard. It wound up going to Tennessee, and I was fine with that because he was never quite the same after that career-threatening leg injury that he suffered.
Hopefully he'll be better.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be better for his sake. But the point is, it's time for one move. This isn't even a splash move. It's time to send a message to your locker room. I did that. I got you a real guy. I got you a bell cow of a back, the ultimate bell cow back, who has proven himself again and again and again. And 30 for him, freakishly gifted that he is not too old. He's still got two or three big time years left in him. That's why Baltimore jumped all over it. But they were able to steal him for a guaranteed $9 million.
That's the one.
It's pennies on the dollar to me for what impact he will have on the Baltimore Ravens. I think they just won the Super Bowl. Way to go. Congratulations, Baltimore. But it was the kind of move that Jerry won't make because his stubborn pride gets in the way because it's not how they do business. I don't do that. Well, Jerry, I just saw your team stink like no playoff team I've ever seen before. That was the biggest playoff disaster I have ever seen in my lifetime watching any playoff game, given who they were, what I thought they were, and how bad it went from jump. It was a nightmare of a debacle, of a disaster, and you owed your Cowboy fandom and especially your locker room just that one guy because it made so much sense. And I don't, you've asked again and again,
did he even make
a phone call?
I'll ask you
did
again, though, Skip. What if Derrick Henry just didn't want to be a Cowboy?
It's possible. I don't know that because I'll probably never know that.
Right. But what if he just didn't want
to
be?
What if Jerry went to $10 million? Could we swallow that?
But still, what if he did want to be and you never got a phone call?
Yeah. That's totally different.
I can write that. But I got to ask you guys, that's why I threw out the Christian Wilkins. Now, in all the free agency that all the guys just got that early run, who do you say is worth me stretching this purse and putting harm's way those three guys I just mentioned that I know I have to sign? I'm telling you, the only person I saw out there, the Raiders got him. And if you can get a big run stopper that also pushes the pocket towards the quarterback, then I'm saying,
but Michael,
okay,
the plunge
I don't
on
see
that,
anybody else. In
okay, but he was 84 right, guaranteed right. million and, dollars. And, that's like,
and that's
Jerry
why
would never do
and
that.
That's what I'm, and that's why I'm saying right here, right now, that we're diving in and we're getting on the Cowboys for inactivity.
No,
I'm diving in and I'm saying the only place I can get on them, and I'm saying, Jerry, right here is where I would have stretched. This would have been
just the mind blower.
Yeah.
This would have been the mind blower. Now you put him in there with Michael Parsons and and you know this is an area of huge. Now you stretch out and everybody, I'm coming on set. We're going to the Super Bowl. I would have taken that. I would have taken the hope letter and moved it all the way to the sky.
Do you like it? Do you like his skill set as a player? Or you just like the fact that he's a big
No. His skill set in his personality. This big fella here is big fun. He's got to keep everybody going in the locker room.
Yeah.
I ate with his family when they were getting drafted. I mean, him and his whole family. That's what I wanted. I wanted all of that. That's what they need on defense. You are not running the football with this dude on the football.
I just want to say one thing before I allow Skip to go ahead and take us into commercial break. Michael, there's only one guy that I've ever seen as a splash guy or a big signing that went on and won a Super Bowl. It's Deion Sanders.
Right. Okay. Right.
Everybody else that gets signed big, right. You just said you're going to the Super Bowl if y'all decided.
Right.
Yeah, that's wasn't going
to
happen.
Okay, but Derrick Henry will carry Baltimore to the Super Bowl.
The problem with Derrick was affordable.
And on top of that,
that's not even a stretch.
Baltimore was in the AFC Championship game. Y'all wasn't in championship nothing.
No.
So they already knocking on the door.
Okay.
Y'all standing in line to knock on the
door.
All
right, so here's the bottom line to this discussion.
Right there.
Watch what Jerry does.
Right there. You got beat 27-0 at halftime.
Thank you. Jerry Jones will take a running back in the second round. It'll probably be Trey Benson out of Florida State. Watch, with the 56 overall pick. I do, too. But you know what? He'll be the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys this year. I got it. And he'll be on a rookie contract, right?